everybody. Okay. Let's get the cat out of the bag and send mass good vibes and prayers and happy thoughts and all the good stuff to Kim and Meg. And we will have them actually on the show at another time. But we still have good stuff going on tonight. We still have a couple of guests to come on and stuff like that. But I got my gnome this week. Let's see. Can we get zoomed in there? Oh, isn't he cute? Yeah. Pepsi, not coffee. Sorry. Okay. I binge listened to a book the other day. I say the other day. It was like Friday. It is the newest audio release for Pippa Grant called The Worst Wedding Date. I am here to tell you. Ugh. The cover is adorbs. Kit Swan and Ryan West are the narrators on it. And oh my God. They were so dead on perfect for this audiobook. I don't even know where to start. So if Kit Swan ever sees this, your internal monologuing throughout that book was just brilliant. So if you are looking for a small town meets hi Marla. Yes, it was really, really good. It's small town, crazy family drama at a destination wedding in Hawaii. anything and everything that can go wrong with this particular wedding, it happens. And so we have Theo. God love Theo. Oh, the many ways that he is becoming one of my favorite rom-com heroes. Because anybody who's read it, let's face it, the man is an absolute hero. Hi, Susie. Theo is just... bad things happen to that poor man, and I feel for him. I feel so bad for him. But he just takes it in stride and rolls on. And then... so Theo and his sister... and of course, now that I'm talking about it, I'm having an absolute brain fart. Theo's little baby sister is getting married, and she's just had her heart set on this little place since she was a kid. And all of her bridesmaids and everything are trying to make this experience everything of her dreams. So when... this, oh dear, freaking Pete, help me. I'm trying my best to get the character names correct on this, and it's eluding me. So the bride, her best friend shows up, and she's on the verge of like having like a major anxiety attack because her brother is poolside handing out drinks and hors d'oeuvres to the family around the pool wearing a flamingo inflatable suit. Oh my gosh. This is how the book starts, folks. Okay. That's any indication of how funny this is. If you've never read a Pippa Grant book, you need to. Lainey, thank you. Thank you, Karen. Lainey is tasked by the bride, which Karen, correct me on the bride's name because I'm losing it here. It's been a long day. Lainey gets enlisted, voluntold to chaperone and babysit her brother, Theo. Because like I said, shit just happens to the poor guy. And they are talking about this situation and they're heading towards the pool. And that's where she sees Theo in a flamingo suit handing out drinks. And oh my goodness, it's got so many tropes. It's the, Amy. it's got the best friend's brother, the small town, obviously rom-com, destination wedding, the family, oh my gosh, it is just 100% you need to do this. I cannot remember exactly which chapter. I want to say it's chapter 16. Yes, the kittens. Oh my gosh, there are kittens. I could talk about this book for the whole hour, but I can't do that. Theo has discovered a mama and her kittens and has them in his bungalow, and it's a big secret. And oh my God, it's just, there's drunken hilarity because Lainey is like Little Miss Prim and Proper. She never cuts loose, never has just been free to be herself, for reasons that are explained in the book. And Theo kind of helps her throughout the story to bring out that wild side, to give her experiences to be fun and to live. And everything. Yes, Emily is correct. It is not a Pippa book without animals. There's an animal in every single one of them. This time around, we had kittens, and I think it was chapter 16. We also had zombie pigs. which, in my opinion, Kit Swan nailed that entire scene with 5,000 stars of hilarity. So let me just cut to the chase and just tell you, I can't really talk much more about it without giving too much away. I don't like to do spoilers. I think that's rude. but if you have read it, you can always message me or link it on the Facebook or Instagram, and we can chat about it all day long. I loved it. I gave it a 5-star. I hope that you guys take the chance to read it. It's out now. If you like audiobooks, highly recommend the audio. Tonight, I have two guests. One of them happens to be kind of like a co-host with me. Yes, Leanne, it was absolutely amazing. So we are going to be joined next by Amy, which is one half of the Bookstagram team of Two Girls in a Bookshelf. Ray unfortunately can't make it, but Amy was willing to. And our special guest is a surprise. We get Erin Mellon. So hang tight. I think we have a sponsor. And then we're going to bring both of them back on with me and we can chat all the things. Stick around.
We're here in paradise. I'm happy, hungry, and I'm ready to eat.
I'm Riley, a vegan who loves good food. This season, I travel across Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, finding all the amazing vegan food this incredible beach city has to offer. Join me on December 8th.
Hello and welcome, Erin.
Good sponsors. This is so amazing. I like just watched a commercial. That was so cool.
She's a big deal.
I'm gathering this. Amazing. How's it going?
Oh, thank you. I don't think I'm a big deal. I'm a hot mess. That's what I am.
Oh, we call that chaos chic, Lindsay. Chaos chic.
Oh, is that what we're calling it now?
That's what we're calling it. Man.
I like want to say hi to all the people in the comments. Hi, Emily.
Hi. This is like crazy. You need to come more often because you bring all the fans to the yard.
Oh, that's nice. I did a little post. Marla, I'm so glad she has a great sense of humor. I just put her in my newsletter today. I literally cut and pasted her beautiful head and put it on a body and did weird shit to her, and she was cool with it. So thank you, Marla. And Jody too. I did the same thing to Jody. Hi, Jody.
Oh, hi, Jody. Oh my God. Well, to anybody that I'm missing, I'm saying hi to everyone now and that joins later or watches later. I just saw in the background of the chat for us that you're going to see Kit Swan tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to a Polycon tomorrow in DC. And yeah, and Kit is, she's going to be my table assistant. She's going to hang out and help me with my books. And then she's going to cruise around and, you know, be a cool, sexy narrator. Yeah, and we're going to be on a panel together too on Friday. So yeah, we'd be you hanging tomorrow.
Awesome.
Oh, thanks.
I
will pass on her compliments. Your compliments to her. She'll be happy to hear you loved her performance so much.
I'm seriously like trying not to fangirl right now.
We had a conversation before this where we both talked to each other and was like, listen, we need to be professional about this.
No, you don't. Why? No. It's good. Enthusiasm's good, right? It's good.
Absolutely.
Oh, there's Susie. Hey.
Hi, Susie. Susie, yeah. I called her my unofficial agent tonight.
Oh, she yeah. Wasn't great at this. Girlfriend yeah. Hooked it up.
Yeah. Yeah, she did. Amazing. She's like that. Susie's like that.
Amazing. Yeah, and then my mom made her laugh like severely. So a little birdie and eyes of my own have seen that you, yeah, all four of them, you have a Kickstarter coming out for If These Walls Could Talk.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me all the things.
Well, we just launched it yesterday. So These Walls Can Talk, I wrote the first one 3 years ago. So this is the 3-year anniversary of the first one. And now there's a whole trilogy. So I wanted to figure out some way that we could celebrate all three of them and kind of have everything in one place, because it's been a wild ride for these plays. There's audios, there's paperbacks. We took it to Vegas and we performed all three plays at Planet Hollywood in Vegas for a full day marathon. So there's a video, an 8.5-hour video that I want people to be able to have forever. There's bonus interviews with the cast. And then I compiled them all into this gorgeous hardback.
It's so pretty.
Thank you. Yeah, so it's got all the gold stuff and I'm playing with Star Wars a little bit on the back. But for people that don't know, These Walls Can Talk, it's kind of like, I call it a love letter to the romance audiobook community, because it's about us. It's about the narrators. It's about the authors. It's about listeners. And even like the people who love listeners, but don't understand their obsession with romance. So we get some like husband action and partners and, it's really taken on a life of its own. And I really wanted to bring the community together around it again. And I made merch. I've got tote bags. I got t-shirts. Like, it's bananas. And I've got all kinds of surprises, too. As we hit different goals, I'm going to be releasing. I don't know how familiar you are with Kickstarter. I've been learning a lot. They call it stretch rewards. So if you hit a goal, then boom, I'm going to be like, hey, guys, now everyone gets this. And now we hit this other thing. Now we all get this. So it's going to be like that for 14 more days.
What do you need people to do to get involved? What do you need people to do?
So follow the link. I think you guys are gonna, yeah, it's right there. I see it. Hi, link. Go there and just check it out. You can follow the project. And then if you follow it, you'll get the updates and stuff like that. And then just see what all the tiers are. There's something for everybody. There's a $5 tier, which is called Just the Tip. And that's if you're not ready to go deep, but you just, you know, just the tip. John is here tonight and he doesn't like when I say that. It makes him uncomfortable, but that's okay. And so just the tip, I'm just going to say it many times as I can. You get the ebook and it's just like, you're getting in there. And then the next level up, is called, I Am Arrived, because that's a quote from one of the characters, and that you get all three, audio plays, and then the bonus interview and the ebook. And then it keeps going. The next one involves the hardback. And then the biggest one, which I'm kind of blown away. The biggest tier, it's quite expensive. And the reason it's quite expensive is because you get everything in the whole entire Kickstarter. and you commissioned me to write a play for you. And so you, whoever backs that tier, that you get to be in the play. I'm going to interview those people, write them a role. They pick two of their favorite characters from These Walls Can Talk, and those actors are going to be in it with them. We're going to record it together. We're going to professionally edit it, and then you're going to have it forever. And five people have already backed them. I can only write 10 short plays, so five are already taken, and I'm blown away. So it's been really fun. We're only on day two, and it's really exciting.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
I mean, I was all for, you know, just the tip, but now I want the full Monty.
No. Okay. Well, it's called the full narwhal, just so you know.
Oh.
Yeah. And if you haven't listened yet, you'll find out who the narwhal is, and then you'll understand more. But
that is,
I have a little bit of knowledge.
A little bit. Okay.
I did start the first one, and I got a few chapters in, and then life happened.
Okay. So know who the narwhal is.
I do.
Yes.
And it is mint. I know Amy and Ray would totally love this and are probably already one clicking the audios. who wants to help me pay for a full narwhal?
I know.
Well, that's
it. Hey, we go halves.
You and me both.
I'm glad you said that, because I want to make it really clear that, like, I see this as a once in a lifetime kind of thing, that I'm doing this and that people might want to participate. And I want it to be, it's that expensive because it's that expensive to produce audio, and I have to pay the actors to be in it, and I have to pay my editor and write the play. Yeah. So, but I want people to split it if they want. You want to be in it with three of your friends? Let's do it. And then you split it. And then you and your friends have this play that you're in together, and you have it forever. Teamwork makes the dream work, Susie Vanderham. Sure does.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I think now you have a whole bunch of people busily typing behind the scenes.
Like, how can I get this before everybody picks them up?
I'm into it. And I made my narration schedule a bit light this summer so I can focus on that. I can write everyone their full narwhal plays and then record them. And then I don't know what people will do with them. You know, it'd be great if they felt, if they wanted to share them and we could post them so people could hear, because they're going to be spin-off plays. So they're going to be set in the world of These Walls Can Talk, and you choose your two favorite characters. And when I interview you, I'm going to find out, like, what kind of role do you want to play? What's your favorite part of These Walls Can Talk? What would be your dream? What are you afraid of? Like, my favorite thing is writing for specific actors. And so this will be my first time writing for specific listeners. So it's going to be a whole different ballgame, and I'm very excited about it.
That is the coolest thing I've heard all day.
All and right. I'm sure you've heard cool things.
No, that's the coolest I've heard all day too.
Yeah, I thought, like, before the show, I heard the coolest things ever with friends that I've forced myself upon. But that just, like, topped it all, like, even more. I'm like,
I think it's gonna be cool.
That sounds so, like, fun. How did this come about? How did If These Walls Could Talk come about?
Well, yes. It came about basically because a couple years ago, it was a little over 3 years ago, I went out for drinks with some friends, and they're all theater people. We were in New York City, and actors and a couple writers. And we talk shop, and what are you working on, and what's your next idea? And so they were asking me what I was writing. And I don't even remember what I was writing at the time. But I told them about it, and they were sort of interested. And then they said to me, they're like, how's the audiobook thing? Because they're not in that world at all. And they just want to know, like, how's life as a narrator? And so I was just starting to tell them stories about things that were happening as a narrator in the booth, narrating romance. And they were so into it. They said, wait, why aren't you writing about that? Because they were so interested in the intricacies of that world. And you know how it goes. You don't know what's interesting about you or your life because you're living it and it's normal to you. But to other people, they're like, tell me about that. And so I was running this project called the Brooklyn Generator, where we write plays in 30 days. And so it was, I wrote it in January 2020. And so I I had 30 days to write it. And then we did a reading in New York City, and then the world shut down, you know, and I was like, there's, this play is not going to be on stage anytime soon. And so we did it. It's so funny looking back, because my intention was to put it on stages. I was not thinking about putting it in audio. I was producing audio for all kinds of other authors and narrating a ton, but I was not putting my own writing into audio yet, which is bananas now when I think about it. So we did. And I cast, you know, some my great friends who are also amazing romance narrators. And then it started to feel like those roles were always meant for them. And so when I wrote These Walls Can Talk 2 and 3, I absolutely wrote it for those actors, those narrators. Oh my gosh,
book. There it is.
Oh, there's so your pretty. Book, baby.
Wow. You guys are high tech over here. I'm really impressed. Wow.
It's not me. I promise you. It's the producer in the background. And I'm sure she is dying laughing at me right now.
Well, it's awesome. Yeah, but it's just been such a joyful journey throughout the, I have the other ones. I have all my books in here as I narrate and do these things. So like, this was the original one, the first one, These Walls Can Talk. And then These Walls Can Talk 2. And people say this looks like Shane East.
Mm-hmm.
And Shane East, and I can see it now. Shane East is in this. He plays Cameron, but this is actually the narwhal played by Joe Arden. And then this one gets a little wild. These Walls Can Talk 3. We've got a robot on the cover because it's about AI. It's very timely. It's about what happens if we start casting artificial intelligence to narrate romance books. And Jason Clarke plays the most amazing AI sexy ass robot. And it's complicated because people are like, you're almost making us like AI because he's so good in this. I was like, I know, but it's bad. It's bad. You can only like Jason Clarke as AI, no one else.
This is timely.
Yeah.
I've been reading about how, you know, the AI is just learning things that is available right on the internet and then learning things. And then it's having some really adverse effects on these AI programs.
Yeah, it's tricky, right? Because you need to sort of go with the times in a way, but I also think we need to preserve the line from the third one is humanity is all we have. And they're very funny plays, but I definitely try to get in some real stuff that lands and makes us think too. Because our humanity, it's all we have. You and me talking to each other, connecting as human beings, like what else is there? If you take that away and suddenly we're telling stories that were told by robots, and then we're listening and they're being performed by robots, I'm like, what is the point of any of that? We might as well just
lay down inflection and the rise and fall. I want the feeling. I want, if I'm listening to an audiobook, I don't want monotone. I don't want robotic. I don't want that. I'm there for that person to read that story into life in my brain.
Absolutely.
Plain and
Lindsay,
simple.
You were talking about the inner monologue, right? That's something that you can only really perform if you've done if you have that going, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Internal monologuing in audiobooks is, it's just so key to the story. Not just the bantering between the characters, but the internal reflection that these characters go through inevitably at some point during the storytelling. Anybody that's lived a life is going to have like feelings towards that, and it shows when you're narrating. Now, if you're getting a robot or a computer or AI or whatever it is to do that, you know, you're taking away like what everybody's saying, you're taking away that human experience. Jason's impression of Shane as the robot is.
So Jason was playing Artie Smarts is the name of the, because AI, Artie, artificial intelligence, Artie Smarts. He's playing that robot doing an impersonation of Shane as Cameron. And so like, listen to all those layers, Jason as the robot impersonating Shane playing Cameron, like That is what a human skilled actor can do. And Jason killed it to the point where Shane had already, we recorded these together. So we were all in our separate booths in different parts of the country, but we all had on our headphones and we were connected over Zoom. So we were playing off of each other. It was like it was theater.
That's even better.
Yeah. And I think dual POV duet books can work if you're doing it separately, not together. I think it's still better when you're together. A play like this would never work because it would just be line. You'd be imagining what the other person was saying instead of living and breathing with them. And I think you can really hear that in the audio. But so Shane wasn't needed for the next scene and he had to go do another project for a little bit and come back to us later. So he signed off. And then we continued working through the play together. And this part where Jason pretends to be Shane, swear to God, we thought he was back. We're like, why is Shane back? And it was just Jason being friggin' awesome. He's really something in it. His part is small in that play, but you will never forget him once you hear that. Cause it's so good. So good.
Well, and you know, that kind of ties in. I say it almost every episode that I do with narrators and author guests alike, that a side character can absolutely make or break a story.
Absolutely.
100%. And I've heard, because I haven't made it to the third installment of If These Walls Could Talk yet, I will be. But I've heard that particular incident you're talking about steals the show.
Yeah,
and absolutely. I'm like, that right there is key of what I'm talking about when I say those things. You know, they can make or break it, and from what I'm hearing, it made it 100%, and I can't wait.
Yeah, I think you'll have fun with
it. Cannot wait.
Super cool. Super cool.
So yeah. I have to ask, because you're obviously really busy.
Yeah, I feel like we're talking.
I know. I just leaned in. I was like, she's telling me we're getting the goods.
I want to be nosy.
Oh, go for it. That's what we're here for.
What are you working on now?
Oh boy. As a narrator or as a writer?
Well, for shits and giggles, we got time. Let's talk both.
Yes.
Okay. Let me think. With narration, it's always tricky because if the author hasn't announced it yet, I don't know if I should.
Yes. If you are allowed to speak of it, go ahead. If you are not, something that's already out that you have done.
I am working on some Misha Bell, who is so fun. And if you're talking about Pippa Grant. So if you like that broad rom-com stuff, Misha is really fun and interesting. So I'm working on one called The Love Deal right now, which comes out at the end of May, I believe. Working on some Julia Kent, just did some pickups and edits for Julia Kent, who I love. I'm doing some Lauren Blakely soon. I'm allowed to say that because she tweeted that she sent me a script. So I think that's okay. I won't tell you what it is. Going to reunite with Lauren in a little bit.
Lauren fan.
Psyched about. And lots of co-narrations with Teddy Hamilton, who seems to be my dude of the moment. I love working with him. Yeah.
Yay, Teddy.
Yeah.
We love listening to him.
So. Oh, me too. Me too. He's one of my go-to guys. Susie said A Love Catastrophe by Helena Hunting. I wasn't sure if that got announced, but yeah, got that book with Helena, and Joe Arden is co-narrating. Yes. And that was fun. I hadn't worked with Helena in a while and I loved that book. So yeah, that's what I'm doing with narration.
Book is up for pre-order.
Yeah, do it.
I have the as arc. Far as
what?
I have the arc for it. I'm very excited.
Oh good.
We're talking secrets now.
Do you the audio arc or the eyeball arc?
Just the eyeball arc. Oh, but I'm a search for the audio arc now.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, fun. Me too.
I'm gonna suck
and
up
then as far people. As writing goes, right now I'm really focused on this, just promoting this, and I'm writing a new series that I can't really talk about right now because I know what it is, but it's going to be a little different than what people have gotten from me so far. I think it's very comedy forward because that's what I do, but I don't I don't think I can market this one as a romance. I think this, I don't love the women's fiction thing. I think we need a new title, but I think that's how I have to market it, because it's not straight up happily ever after, but it's still funny. And that's going to be three books, and they're all very interconnected, and I already have the covers and they're really cool. So I'm hoping summertime I'll be able to say more about that, but I'm really excited and definitely challenging myself to go into new territory about something I've been obsessed with for a long time. Do you ever have that stuff where you're like, you're working on one project and you're loving it, but there's this thing in the back of your mind, you're like, all I want to do is watch videos on this. All I want to do is talk about this. So the book is about an obsession of mine. And it's going well, and it's really fun. So I'll tell you more soon.
We will look forward to that.
Okay.
We'll be listening.
Because it's nice to know that, you know, we're not the only ones that fixate over here.
Oh yeah.
You know, like
Debbie just asked.
It's kind of like, go ahead.
Debbie just asked, what are some of your favorite books that you've narrated? And then I would like to also say fangirl moment. The Friend Zone and the Happy Ever After playlist are honestly top shelf for me. They're so good.
Yeah, I loved working on those books. Abby's awesome.
I love listening to all your audios. Every single
But tell us, give us like, if you tell us something you're really proud of, maybe one of the ones that you're really proud of.
I love working for Jana Aston. I feel like she is my like kindred spirit in comedy land. So anything that Jana Aston has written and I've narrated, I've loved. I get a lot of feedback still years later from Christina Lauren book, Love in Other Words. Mm-hmm. I remember loving that book, but it's interesting. I don't know why certain books hit differently for people than other ones do. I remember thinking that was a beautiful book, but I mean, that was like 5 or 6 years ago, and that has stuck with people.
I still obsess over an audiobook that Jacob Morgan did. It's probably actually under Zachary Weber. From like almost 10 years ago to me, it feels like.
Yeah.
And like nobody I know has ever read it. And I'm like, holy crap, it's like one of my favorite series.
What was it?
The Scribe by Elizabeth Hunter.
Okay.
It was so good. Like I bucket list item have to go to Cappadocia now, like because of that book series.
I love like, that.
It has to happen.
You know, speaking of that fellow you just mentioned, we did one together, a Deborah Anastasia book called Mercy, that I remember being very dark and deep and interesting. I really enjoyed that. And then another dark one, Ghostface Killer. Has anyone listened to that one? That's my pseudonym. Ghostface Killer by M. Never. And it's about a female assassin. And I think like on page one, I'm killing people. And it's like, that's not like on paper, that's not something I would enjoy. That's, I don't love watching anything violent. I couldn't do a book like that back to back. I couldn't do a whole bunch of them and feel okay. But every once in a while as an actor, you want to flex your muscles in a different direction. And that was very well written and really, really cool. So,
okay.
And you're kind of on like the edge of your seat. You're like, do I like her? Do I not like her? Am I rooting for her? She just did kill some dude. But as an actor, I got to really play. So Ghostface Killer is cool.
So that brings up a question that I have. Has there been any book that you've narrated that just super got you in the feels, all the emotions, like you had to stop and just collect yourself? And which one was it?
Narrators, we love these questions and we also are terrified of them because we've narrated so many books. We're like, what was that one? What was the title? Who wrote it? Sometimes we really know and sometimes we don't. The first one I'm thinking about is Ali Martinez. A book called From the Embers was quite amazing and emotional. And she's so good at twists and surprises and still keeping it sexy and fun and suspenseful. She's so good. There's this one by Terry Elaine and A.M. Hargrove, they wrote together years ago. If anyone in the comments knows, I had a Southern accent. what was it called? There was a massive twist at the end that was bananas. That was very emotional. I remember crying during that book, and I'm like, take a break. You cannot snot into this microphone. Like, it's you. They people want to hear emotion, but they don't want to hear you blubbering, because it's like, you are the ones that should get the experience. We are offering the experience that should be colored by our emotions. But if we're over here having a sob fest, then you're just going to be like, well, let her do her thing. I'll just be over here. And we want you to be in the story. So I remember for that book having to take a moment and come back in. And then there's another one. I won't say the book, because it's a plot point that's really going to ruin it for you. But a child has to be taken off life support. And oh, God. I was a mom, and I lost my damn mind. And I don't even think I was a mom yet. And I was like, can't handle this shit.
yeah.
And then, yeah. So you go all over the place, but that's your job. So
yeah. Now, on the flip side, the same question, but which is the funniest that you have done, or a couple of the funniest?
It's really hard to say. Like, Jana Aston, I just love, she cracks me up. Amy Dawes, all the books I've done for Amy Dawes, so much fun. I remember, speaking of Jason Clark, we did a book for Pippa Grant a bunch of years ago, maybe 3-4 years ago. and we did it in duet, and we did it together. So we both met at a studio in Brooklyn, and he was in the booth here and I was in the booth there, and we got to play all day through. Anyone in the comments remember which one it was? Pippa Grant had a funny title, a weird title.
I am trying to remember now, because I've read almost all of her books.
Yeah.
Because I stumbled upon one and I was hooked, and I like went and backlogged, and I spent so much money on audiobooks. It was bad.
Yeah. We appreciate you for that. Thank you. I bet someone will tell us, but I remember we were cracking each other. The pilot and the puck up. Was that it? Yes, it was the pilot and the puck up. Yeah, because he was.
Yes.
One of us was a pilot and one of us was a hockey player, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, I did not do Master Baker, Amanda, but I've done a couple of Pippa books, and they're always a blast.
That book was so funny. The zero gravity scene.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. My God. I forgot about that. It just popped in. Oh, sweet baby Jesus. Oh, that was a good one, you guys. If you haven't done it, you need to. Yeah. Highly recommend. Oh, my God.
Debbie wants to know if you blush violently during.
That's my mother.
Debbie's your mom?
Yes.
That's why I'm laughing.
Hi, Debbie. You have a lovely daughter.
She loves you.
No, I don't. Even when I first started, not really. I mean, I'd been on stage for 10 years at that point. Like, I've done many things on stage that would cause people to be like, hell no, I'd never do that. Like, I think as an actor, you have inhibitions. You're shy about some things, but you move through it and you find your way through it. So when it came to audiobooks, I actually kind of loved how suddenly you're in this enclosed space. It feels very private. Sometimes I'll have an engineer on the other side and I can see them through the glass. But for the most part, I'm alone. And when people can't see you, it's very easy to be brave. And I remember my first book was young adult. My second book was hardcore erotica, and I had to say some things, and I just did it. And then, oh, this is a funny story. I've told this before. A couple books after that, it was years ago, my first Helena Hunting book was Pucked. And
yes.
Yeah. And at the time I did that through my pseudonym, because on the very first page, it's a girl, you know, by herself in her bedroom, doing some stuff. And I'm like, well, this is the book and it's called Pucked. So I think I should probably use my pseudonym. And then in hindsight, I'm like, I wish that was under my name. I'm proud of everything my pseudonym has done, but I try to keep it like the super sexy stuff and the very dark goes with my pseudonym. But it's kind of a moot point now because I do tons of, you know, everything under my name. It's okay. Anyway, I was doing Pucked and I was at Audible Studios and I had an engineer across from me and he was the one that was getting shy. And I think he was a little new and I'm just over here super confident playing out all the scenes, doing the sounds, whatever needs to happen. And we get a little break and he goes, can I ask you something? I said, yeah. And he goes, is she going to call it her beaver the whole book? And I was like, yeah, she is. She is. Like, get used to it. And he's like, okay. And then we move forward. But he was shy. And I was like, I just got to break him out of his shell. I mean, I couldn't let his shyness change my performance. So
we went forward. I love how you're like, this is a moment for education right yes. here.
He will be playing beaver a lot. Get on board, buddy.
Teachable yeah. moment.
Yeah.
Put your big boy pants on.
Leanne wants to know yes or no, without details, but have you ever turned down a project based on you looked at the content and you thought this just isn't me or this isn't yeah. something I can do?
Many times. In the beginning, not so much. In the beginning, there were things I should have turned down and did not. But I was getting my feet wet and I was figuring out where I belonged in the industry and what work was coming to me and what wasn't coming to me. But after you go for a while, you know where you're happy and where you're not. So yeah, I turned down plenty. It's tricky because you can't read the whole book, but you can figure out pretty fast. There's search words we can do. There's content warnings. And I never want to be in a place where I feel like I'm judging the work. Mm-hmm. I think everyone should write whatever in the world they want to write and people should read whatever they want to read. But I don't need to be the one performing it if it doesn't line up with my sensibilities. So there's going to be a narrator there that'll be thrilled to do it. And so if I ever feel that back and forth waffling, I feel like the author deserves someone that's fully in. So I'll turn it down.
I like that actually.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like that lines up. That lines up with kind of our approach to reviews. I think Lindsay and I are also the same. We want to match people with like the book with the audience, whether you think it's a 5-star read or you think it's a 3-star read. It could be somebody's 5-star read. And yeah, so, absolutely. I like that very much.
And we know there's no shortage of books. There's a world of things to read. You will find what you like. So keep looking. You'll find it.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, just because you go to one person and they don't offer you anything that you're interested in, there's millions and billions of people in the world that could give you just as many recommendations.
And I feel the same way about narration and audiobooks, because so often you'll meet someone, it happens to me all the time, or someone asks what I do and I tell them, they simultaneously think it's cool and they go, oh, but I can't read audiobooks. I can't. Mm. And I'm always like, why? What happened? I was going to say, what happened to you? What happened is they tried it once and it didn't work for them. And they thought audiobooks don't work for them. And you can have the narrator with the most accolades on the planet that most people are like, oh, amazing. There are people that cannot stand that person. Uh-huh. And that's okay. That's the way the world works. Look at Taylor Swift right now. It's like, there's no more success than what that woman is having. And the haters are everywhere. So it's part of having a career in the public sphere. So I always tell people, if you had a bad audiobook experience, please try again, if you're at all interested. You'll find the narrator that works for you, the author that works for you. Maybe it's not what you want, but if you tried it once, maybe give it a couple more tries with different voices and different sensibilities.
I tell people I work with about that all the time, because this right here, I'm like surprised it has not morphed into my ear because I sit at work with it in and I'm just typing away and people will come right here and like start talking and I don't hear them. And I'm like, oh, there's a person there. Oh, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm listening to audiobooks. And they're like, oh, what are you reading? Like the newest whatever. No, I'm reading romance and lots of it. You're interrupting a really good part. And they're like, how can you do that? And like, they think it's like this taboo thing. And I wanted to ask what your input output is on that whole topic of so many people finding romance specifically such a taboo thing to either read in public, listen to in public, with the exception of the oddball embarrassing moment of it coming on full blast in your car in a drive-thru.
Yeah.
That understandably can be funny, but embarrassing.
Yes.
So what kind of thoughts do you have on that?
I think we live in a really, really weird world where people use sex to sell everything. Everything. This is extreme. But it's like, how young can you look? How hot can you look? Women over 40 are done. Like, it's all this stuff. So it's like sex, sex, sex. Oh, you listen to romance books? Whoa. Like, it makes no sense to me.
Bingo.
And I think it's really... it does the whole genre a disservice to think they're all about sex. This is a genre of books that is about human connection and love. And for the most part, it's usually about two people who are overcoming something that is not missing in themselves, but there's some part of their heart that needs healing. There's something they need to learn in order to be available to truly give and receive love. And what is... I'm not saying relationships are the point of being alive, but what else is there than understanding who you are and opening yourself to what life has to offer? Like that is the human experience as I see it. And that's what great romance does. So when people, I don't like when people call it smut, even like say what you want, but when people are talking about like, I write smut, I always want to be like, oh, but you write more than that. But you can mark it however you want.
Yeah.
I don't think they're smut. I don't think they're trash. I don't think they're, I think the really great ones, and there's a lot of really great ones,
yes,
are about love. And the ones that want to be all about sex, that's great too.
They have their place.
They do.
Absolutely. And I just think anyone who judges it, it says more about them and their shyness and their need to be liberated than anything else.
Yes.
I agree. I think it also has a lot to do with this idea going further back in history where we like to put people in boxes and put, you know, categorize everything. And now we're starting to understand we don't need to label everything. We don't need to put things in boxes and label things like good or not good or,
you know. And I also, without going too far down this rabbit hole, It's an industry, it's a genre dominated by women. Women writers, women readers. There's men out there, of course. But I don't think it's a coincidence that this niche, the highest grossing niche in the book industry, is run by women and people can't handle it. They don't, you know, even in audiobooks, you know, those of us that narrate a ton of romance, we have great careers. We're very happy. It's happening for us. Mm-hmm. But then we go to like the big audiobook awards and stuff and you hear the snickers, you feel the snickers when it gets to the romance category that somehow it's like, ho, ho, ho. I'm like, guys, you're all being silly. I was raised super religious and repressed too, but it's time. It's time to let go of that stuff. It is time. And if you're not into it, cool, but don't judge the people that are.
But also, I mean, that's like anything. If that's not your thing, then you just like keep scrolling. Like
absolutely, you know? Absolutely.
Bingo. Mm-hmm. Just like the comment below here says, Farrah says, "Why do you think people watch Hallmark? It's not for the great acting or production value. It's for the romance and happy endings. It just needs more sex." And 110% agree. But it just blows my mind, like you were saying, that it's one of the highest grossing genres that mm-hmm. keeps those big houses in business. Yep. And it is the most shunned.
Yeah.
It's a waste of time.
I mean, that kind of energy, I have no time for that kind of energy. None.
Yes.
Like I feel some people that ask me like what I write and what I narrate, and they're impressed. And then they're like, oh, they don't say it, but I feel it a little bit. I'm like, yep, I'm not done with that person, but I'm like, we don't need to talk about this anymore.
We'll visit that 10 years from now.
Yeah. But to Farrah's point about Hallmark, I think it's also about comfort. Those people like to watch those movies because it provides them with comfort. And
it's a very safe space too, right? Right. I mean, we know that it's going to be okay at the end.
And also we know in a detective story that the detective is going to solve the mystery. We know in a thriller, they're going to discover who killed the woman. We know that. So those are predictable too. It's just how do you get there that keeps us hanging in there and watching. So any genre fiction, we know where it's going. We just don't know how it's going to happen. And that's exciting and comforting.
And comforting, yes.
Yeah.
110%.
Was it you, Lindsay, that was like passion flicks when I was talking about Hallmark? So Farrah, that's my little down below. You know, go and search up passion flicks if you need extra.
Yes, I do not get
Hallmark Plus. That's where I would go.
If you're looking for that Hallmark-esque feel, definitely it's $5.99, I think, a month. It's a streaming app for romance stories turned to movies. Amy Dawes just had one that released earlier this month, last month.
Yeah. End of March.
Yeah, so am I, Farrah.
yes, girl.
I stumbled on it by sheer accidents and one of the best things ever. So I don't, none of us get like any like props or notoriety for that. I just, anybody that's willing to hear me out about it, I'm like, if you like this, go check this out. And I do the same thing with books and audiobooks. And I lent a male coworker of mine my paperback of Flirting with the Frenemy by Pippa Grant.
Do you have an update on this moment? Because I feel like we talked about this last week, and now I would like to have the update.
I don't know. Google Amy, because my phone's like dead over here. So he's younger. I'm, you know, the tail end of my 30s here, so I got one more year left. But he's much younger than I am, but he is very open-minded. And I told him, I said, if you are open-minded in reading.
You did narrate that, by the way.
You did, yes.
With
Joe. And he was so excited. He's like, I can't wait to dive into this. Like,
oh, that's great.
Told me just this morning, he's like, I don't think I want to read the book club book assignment. I think I might start that one. And I said, it's a quick read. Do it.
Yes, that's awesome. Well, we know how people are judgy about women reading romance. For a man reading romance, that must be a whole other ball of wax. John is here tonight and he's he listens to a lot of stuff, but romance is his jam. And so he's always in these spaces with women. And, we need to ask John directly sometime, like how people react to that, other men in his life and stuff. And who cares? Do what you want to do.
I love that. Or like how did that start? Like, where did that start? Because I feel like it's not dads handing books to sons. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
John, tell us right now. He's right there. Tell us how you started listening to romance. We'll vamp, but you let us know.
Yeah.
Let us know. Because I always jokingly tell the guys.
I'm always casually passing things to my husband.
Like, here. Now,
you should look at this one. Page, like chapter 12. You should go check
it out. A husband and wife couple that are on Bookstagram. And they, she'll read something and then highly recommend it to, hi cat. Sorry.
This is alphabets and audiobooks. And
yes. Yes. No mom stay and read.
Something mom.
Yeah. No mom stay and read.
No mom.
They're a husband and wife. Bookstagram separate accounts, but they're funny. They are adorable. They are funny, but that is like a healthy relationship of encouraging not only the love of reading between each other, but challenging each other to read something that they wouldn't normally have expected to read. Right. And she does that with him in romance, and he's all for it. And I just had to give them a shout out because I love them both so much. But yeah, I think the world would be a lot more happy of a place if people just read more happy things, happy romance. And even if it's dark, the world would just be happier.
I need to read romance. There's a lot to learn. Oh, Lynette.
Yeah.
Preach, girl.
Yeah.
Preach. I listened to my first one when I got it on Apple and I was shocked and I loved it. I love happy stuff. I think that's really important. I liked that you mentioned that they're happy.
That's in books that go. That's
in books that go. Come on. But I like that also when you're, Aaron, when you're talking about like human connection, some of the books that I most connect with are when there's like the biggest heartbreak. Like if we think about what happened in, you know, the end of Friend Zone and the beginning of Happy After Playlist, it was really heartbreaking for me because I was very attached to that character. And then that character is gone. And I feel like I also mourned it along with the characters in the book. And your exceptional performance, but I connect with those too, and I like that there's a resolve of it. I like that we go through; we're not left hanging.
It comes full circle usually, if there's not a cliffhanger. Yeah. But eventually, even if there is the cliffhanger, it will come through full circle, and that's I think what the beauty is, especially in the romance genre.
I was just thinking, Farah before said like predictability is comforting, and I think that's true. And I think beyond predictability, it's like, since we know where we want it to go and hope it will go and are pretty sure it's going to go, there's like a yearning. There's a yearning in us to get there and to see how it happens. And I think that's that same kind of yearning you feel when you're young and in love for the first time, or not young, but falling in love. Like that yearning is something that we don't all feel in our everyday lives. If you're lucky enough to be in a solid relationship, that's fantastic. But the comfort settles in, right? And the day-to-day settles in, and that you're not yearning for each other. And maybe that's okay because you're happy. But I think that's a human need to, we want to want, right? And so when we see these people wanting and yearning, and then we need to know their story, there, it's a good feeling.
It really is.
I love that so much.
It really is.
Aaron, I know
cannot believe.
I know. I was going to say, I know we only have like 2 minutes left. But my question was going to be, if somebody wanted to get into narrating or even how you got into narrating, what's the first step? What do they do?
Well, getting into narrating now is different than when I got into it over 10 years ago. But I think that listen a lot. Listen to tons of different kinds of narrators, different genres. Listen. And then literally take a book and sit very still in a chair, in a closet, in a tiny room like I'm in, and practice speaking for several hours. It sounds ridiculous, but do it because it's a muscle that you have to build up. There's a stillness to your body. There's like a fitness you need to have to do it vocally and in your body, because I can make the tiniest movement and my microphone hears it and I have to retake it. So you need to build up that kind of stamina, but you need to see if you'd be happy living that kind of life, because it's a solitary life and it's a very still and quiet life. And get coaching, because you don't know what you don't know. And still, even people who've been working 10 years need coaching from time to time, because we have habits and stuff that we can iron out. We never want to be distracting. You want to tell a story for 8 to 10 hours and let the listener immerse themselves. And if we have habits and weird stuff that we're doing, it pulls you out. So coaching is key. Coaching. Listening.
Well, Aaron, I truly want to say thank you for popping on. It has always been something I wanted to have you on. And
it worked out.
It's happened. So definitely would love to have you again. Everybody, thank you for joining and watching and asking questions. I hope you enjoyed You can watch this again at any time. It will later be put up on Spotify so you can listen to it. And I want everybody to go sign up for the Kickstarter.
Yes. Boom. Thank you, yes. My friend.
Even if it's just the tip.
Just the tip is fantastic.
Can we say just the tip a few more times?
Just the tip.
Only the tip.
Even if it's just the tip.
Just the tip.
Just the tip.
Well done.
All right, everybody. Thank you, Amy, as well. And I will see all the rest of you next week. Bye.
Bye.